Bibles to Revelation chapter number 20, and I hope you'll be much in prayer. Like I said, it is good to see everybody today. Good to have Brother Dwayne Tester and his family visiting with us, and we appreciate them. Brother Dwayne filled in for me on the radio broadcast while I was gone, done a good job, and I appreciate that. Revelation chapter 20, right next to the last chapter in the Bible. So I know you'll find it all right this morning, but you be much in prayer. I've tried to pray especially extra hard concerning this message, and you'll know why when we read the scripture. You know, the devil, he fights us. Did you know that? And so he doesn't like when we talk about his future. But we've got a glorious future to look forward to. Well, his is not so bright. And so we're going to read here in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 1. And we'll read down through several verses. Then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said in verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season." Now look down to verse 7. So he's in the bottomless pit, chained for 1,000 years. Verse 7, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for letting us be here today and the many blessings that you've given to us, and the good spirit of worship we've already felt, and it's just a blessing to be in your house today with your people. And dear Lord, we ask that you'd speak to us from the Word of God today. I pray there would be great liberty to preach the Word of God. And I pray, Lord, that God, you would just be glorified in everything that's said and done. I pray that you would bind the devil and his forces, that they'd not be able to hinder in the service today. Lord, we know that there's a spiritual battle always going on, whether we realize it or not. So, Lord, we plead your help today. We pray for the power of the Spirit of God, and I pray the Word of the Lord would have free course. I pray you'd speak to hearts. I pray if there'd be one here today that is lost, Lord, I pray you'd convict them. I pray you'd save them by your marvelous grace. And God, I pray you'd help your children, Lord, that we'd look up in these last days and realize where we are in time, that we might be a greater light and a greater witness for your honor and your glory. Now help us. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and we plead your precious blood. We thank you, God, we have the victory by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. We claim that by faith today. We ask you to have your way, and in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. All right, let's go back and read verse number 10 one more time, and we'll get started today. Verse number 10, the Bible said, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, the apostle Peter, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, told us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says over there, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, whether we like it or not, or whether we know it or not, or realize it or not, we have an adversary. We have an adversary. That means a foe. That means an enemy. And your enemy and my enemy, the devil, he hates us so badly today. I mean, there is no low too low that he wouldn't stoop in order to devour us. That's what the Bible says. That's what he would like to do in our lives. He'd like to devour us. He'd like to destroy us. He would like to, and many times he is successful to defile us, to get us tripped up in sin and ruin our testimony. And the devil is behind so many of these things that go on in our daily lives. He'd like to discourage us. Boy, he's got a whole special unit that I believe all they do, the devils of hell, all they do is go about and see how they can discourage God's people and get God's people depressed and looking down and on the dark side all the time and just to defame us. And I mean, he is on the job. He's on the job all the time, day and night. Never takes a day off for thousands of years, day in, day out, year after year, month after month, week after week. The Bible says the devil walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He never wears weary in doing that very thing among the people of God. You think about that. The Bible said just like a lion walks about seeking prey, that's how the devil is, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now, sometimes we are not very much aware of what the devil is doing in the world around us. But there's other times, if we are spiritually in tune to what's going on, we are very aware that the devil is working. Well, you ever go through the week sometimes and you hear about this this situation and another situation? I mean, we're living in a day and a time where everywhere you look, families are tore all to pieces. Who's behind all that? The devil's behind a lot of it. I know we're responsible for a lot of things, but I'll tell you, the devil gives a lot of free volunteer help in tearing families all to pieces. He's working overtime. I don't know this week how many different families I've heard about with problems. And let me tell you, the preacher preached on Wednesday night about praying for your pastor. He talked about how the devil would like to tear your pastor's life all to pieces and destroy the preacher. But you know what? As he was preaching, I thought, yes, that's true. The devil would like to do that, but the devil will take your family as well. I mean, he'd like to hit a home run every time, but he'll settle for a triple or a double or just to get on base. I mean, he'd just destroy anybody's family that he had the opportunity to do so. And that's what he is. He's an opportunist, just like a lion. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour, looking for an opportunity to get into our lives. Families tore all to pieces. Churches tore all to pieces, divided, fighting, strife, lost their testimony, can't do anything for God because of internal strife and all of these things. Who's behind all that, buddy? The devil is. Pastors and preachers quitting, losing their testimony, ought to resign from the ministry and sit down, but just go right on doing more harm than good. Society's in a mess all round about us. And you know what? The devil's fingerprints are all over that. Who's behind all that mess? The devil is. He's our adversary. He's our enemy. And it's either directly or indirectly the devil is involved in much of the problems that's going on in this world. So I'd like to preach this message today by the help of the Lord. I'd like to preach on this subject, a reminder to the devil. A reminder to the devil. Look at verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You know, that's the last time the devil's mentioned in the Word of God. Oh, he started out pretty good, but I'm telling you, the last time you ever read about him, you know what the Bible says about the devil? That he shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. We ought to just stop right there and have a fit. If you knew how much he hated you and how much he wants to ruin and wreck your life and what the devil has planned for you out yonder in the future for your life and your children, if you knew the great lengths he went to destroy and devour your life, you'd just stop right there and say, praise God. Amen. Praise God. He's coming to him one of these days. A reminder to the devil. That's the last time he's mentioned in the Bible. These four things I'd like to just remind the devil of. I'm not even necessarily preaching to you this morning, and I realize that might seem a little bold and maybe even dangerous, but I believe he needs to be reminded of some things. I'd like to remind the devil this morning, number one, that his days are short. His days are short. Chapter 20 and verse number 1, the Bible said, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. This follows chapter number 19, which describes the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and where the Lord is going to come back and destroy all of his enemies at the end of the tribulation time period. And Revelation 19:21 says, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. That's going to happen at the end of the tribulation. The tribulation is going to last 7 years. And right after that, the Bible said, and I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. That could actually take place just a few years from where we are right now. Just a few short years. And that is all depending upon when the rapture of the church takes place. And the rapture of the church is something that is imminent. That means that the Lord Jesus Christ could call us home to glory. The trump of God could sound today. 7 years isn't nothing. 7 years, I mean, a 7-year-old child, that's from birth to just right into 7 years isn't nothing. I mean, that could be a short distance away in the future that an angel could come down from heaven and put Satan in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. His days are short. It's what the Bible says. It is no wonder that the whole world is beginning to look like Sodom and Gomorrah. Everywhere you look, it's because the devil knows his days are short. Look in Revelation chapter 12. It's no wonder that the governments of the world are beginning to look like the rise of the Nazis part 2, and different leaders in the world are at a place where that Hitler wished that he had the power that they had. I'm telling you, things look dark. Things look bleak all round about us. Wonder why, preacher? Look at Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 12. The Bible said, therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Then it says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You ought to underline that in your Bible.
You ought to underline that and put amen out beside of it. He knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, the devil knows that he has a short time, but I think we ought to remind him every once in a while that he's got a short time. He knows that he's got a short time, and if we read and believe the Word of God, we know that he has but a short time. And you know what? When your days are short, that means that your time is just about up. That's how it is with the devil. His time just about up. His days are numbered. His reign of terror is just about over. I know things look bad in the world, and I know it's hard to see it sometimes, but the devil is a defeated foe. Do you know that? He is operating from a position of great disadvantage because he's already been defeated. And he is just simply has to play out his part, and there's nothing that he can do outside the Word of God. Everything God says that he has to do, he has to do it. His days are short. He's working overtime. It seems like we are fighting a losing battle, but it said in Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11, it says, "And they overcame him." That's the devil. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." You know what? The Word of God says we're overcomers. "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." We are overcomers today because of Christ. The Bible said in Romans 20 and verse 16, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." I like that verse. That word bruise over there, it means this. It means to crush. It means to deal a fatal blow is what it means. Praise the Lord, we're on the winning side. And his days are short. His time is just about up, and our time is just about ready to get started. Praise the Lord. I like what it says over in Isaiah 14. It's talking about Satan and all of his pride, and he wanted to be like God. We're familiar with verse 12. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" But it goes on down. In verse 14, the devil said, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." That's the devil. The Bible said in verse 15, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners?" The Word of God says one day the devil's going to be cast down to hell. And the other people, the great leaders of the nations of the world, will look narrowly upon him. And they'll say, "You mean that's him? You mean that's the one that caused all that trouble in the world, that weakened the nations, that destroyed the earth? You mean that's him? That's what's happened to him? Well, he's not so bad. He's not so big. He's not so scary anymore." The Word of God says that an angel's going to come down with a great chain and bind him up like a dog and put him in a bottomless pit and shut it up and put a seal upon it for 1,000 glorious years. We'll not be bothered by the devil. That's the millennial reign of Christ. His days are short. That's why everything's so crazy. That's why everything's so sinful. We need to be reminded. He needs to be reminded that his days are short. But you know what? Over here in Revelation chapter number 20, not only his days are short, but I want to point out something else. Number two this morning, our God is sovereign. Our God is sovereign. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11, the Bible said over there, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." The one sitting upon that great white throne is the Lord. And he's so powerful and he's so mighty that the Bible says from his face the earth and the heaven fled away. He's a sovereign God of the universe. To be sovereign means to be supreme in power, possessing supreme dominion as a sovereign ruler of the universe. You know right now what the Bible says? In the book of Ephesians, it says that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He's pretty much as far as this world is concerned. And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness in high places and great wickedness. The devil pretty much runs the show in the governments of this world. That's what the Bible says. So it's no wonder that the governments of this world are so wicked and ungodly. Because the devil's running the show. He's the prince of the power of the air. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's a little g. That's the devil. And he blinds the minds of lost people, lest they come to the glorious saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is a prince with power, and he's a God with a little g. He'll never usurp the power of God with a big G. God with a big G, our God, the God of the Bible, Jehovah God today, he is not out of control just because the devil has power. He's in control. Our God is sovereign and always has been. I know it looks bad down through the ages of time. And there was a day when Satan thought he had won the war. Do you know that? Is that dark day at Calvary where the Lord Jesus Christ died there for your sins and for my sins and where he cried out from the cross and said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, and he gave up the ghost and he died there upon the cross of Calvary. Boy, Nicodemus came and a few others, and they took the body, the lifeless, dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ down off that cross. They took his body with loving care, and they washed the dried blood and the gore off the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I imagine and think back in my mind to that horrible day where Jesus died upon the cross, I believe with all my heart that Nicodemus, who took the body, would have tried to put the flesh back into place as best he could. The Bible said in Isaiah about the body of the Lord Jesus that his visage, his appearance was marred more than any man. As Jesus was crucified and hung there upon the cross, his very intestines would have hung outside of his body. Boy, Nicodemus said, lovingly put everything back, washed it all off, wrapped him up in grave clothes, and hurriedly placed the body of the Lord Jesus Christ in that cold, lonely tomb, went out and sealed it, buried him there. And I'm sure that as the Lord Jesus Christ was buried there, that there was celebrations and congratulations all throughout the spirit world. And no doubt the very devils of hell came to look in on the prince, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was alive, and they met him and said, who art thou? And he said, you know who I am. Boy, they trembled at his voice. And now he was dead and he's laying in the grave. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 talks about the crucifixion. It talks about Calvary and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it talks about the wisdom of God versus the wisdom of this world. And it said in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 8, it said, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they'd have known what they was really getting involved in and into, they wouldn't have done it. They didn't have enough wisdom to know that on that third day their party in the underworld was going to be over. And about that third day, or on that third day, there was a rumbling around that tomb. What was that? What was that noise? What's going on over there? and that stone rolled away. And here come the Lord Jesus Christ, the one they had celebrated over, the one they had danced over, the one they had been happy over that he was dead. Hey, now he's alive. When he come out of that tomb, you know what he said about it? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He, if it's possible, he had more power then than he did before he went to Calvary. That's hard for me to imagine, but he said, all power is now given unto me. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan came to him and he said, if you'll bow down to me, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world. When he come out of the grave, he said, I got all the power anyway. Satan's a defeated foe. I like what it said over in Revelation chapter 1 in the introduction to the book. And the Lord Jesus Christ, we see him there. And the Bible said in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18, Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead. See, he was dead. But he said before that, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. When he came out of that grave, he had some keys that the devil didn't have no more. The devil today is a defeated foe. And our God is sovereign. He's omnipotent. He's almighty. He's a creator. He's a sustainer. He's the savior of the world today. To whosoever will call upon him, he'll save him. Ain't a thing the devil can do about it. You know what? I don't believe the devil can spit without getting permission from God. He's defeated. He is doomed, and he knows his days are short. I read over there in the book of Job, chapter number 1, and the Bible said there was a day when the sons of God came before the Lord, and Satan with them. You remember that? And the Lord said, Satan, where have you been? What have you been doing? He said, I've been walking to and fro in the earth. You know, I got studying about that. I believe God put the devil on foot a long time ago. I don't know that God will allow the devil to ride in a car. The Bible said he walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I believe there's a time where the devil, buddy, he couldn't hitch a ride on a bus. God said, buddy, you're going to have to walk. I mean, he's got power, but he don't have as much as you think he does. Anything he does, he has to get permission from God. There's nothing that he does that God does not allow him to do. Our God is a sovereign God. The devil needs to be reminded of that. And we need to be reminded of that as well in this day and time. Number 3, this morning, that the devil needs to be reminded that the saints of God are sealed. Oh yeah, the devil gives us a fit, but we are sealed. The Bible said in Ephesians 4 and 30, and grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. That means the devil can't get in there. The Bible said in Revelation chapter number 20 that the devil was going to be put in a bottomless pit and that it was going to be sealed for 1,000 years. You know what that means? He can't get out. The Bible says that we are sealed until the day of redemption. You say, preacher, what's that mean? Well, I'll tell you one thing that means. That means if you're saved, you can't get lost. If you could get lost, you'd already got lost. I'd already been lost. I'd have lost my salvation. But praise God, when you come to Jesus, he said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That don't mean you can sin, live any old way, and do what you want to. You'll reap the consequences. It means if you're saved, you're saved, you're sealed, you're safe. The devil can't do nothing to you. God has you in his hand is what the Bible says. I like Matthew 10:30. Jesus said, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You think God knows that much about us? He knows the very hairs of our head. He knows us more than we know ourselves. He knows what we struggle with. He knows our desires. He knows the good. He knows the bad. He knows everything about us. He knows us, and He sealed us. If you're saved, you're safe. The Lord Jesus told Peter in Luke 22 and 31, He said, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Well, the devil would like to have you today. He'd like to have permission to just ruin and wreck and run through your life and sift you like wheat and throw you up in the air. He'd love to have permission to do that. The devil wanted to do that to Peter. He said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But Jesus said, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Boy, you know what? He's prayed for you. John 17, He's prayed for you. He's prayed for me. He knows about us. He knows who our enemy is. He knows all about these things. And Satan could not touch Peter because Jesus prayed for him. The devil couldn't touch Job until he got permission from God. Couldn't do one thing to him. The Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, and the devil said, well, he just serves you because you're good to him. Because you're good to him. But Satan didn't say, watch this, I'll go down there and I'll do this and I'll do that. No, sir. He had to get permission from God first. God said, all right, you can do this and this, but you can't touch him here and you can't touch him there. Well, that ought to comfort us this morning. That ought to help us today. The devil can't do anything to you unless he has permission from God to do what he wants to do. I know the devil is powerful, and I know that he's ferocious and it's scary sometimes, but 1 John 4:4 said, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I was reading this week over in 2 Kings chapter number 6. And I love what the story over there, the true account in the life of Elisha the prophet. And there was warfare in the nation and Syria and Israel. And every time that King Ben-Hadad tried to attack Israel, he failed in it. And he said, somebody's a spy. Who's for Israel? I want to know who among us is telling our plans. Who is for Israel? And one of his servants said, well, it's not one of us. He said, it's Elisha the prophet. God's telling him everything you get ready to do. And that's why we can't win any battles for Israel. And old Ben-Hadad, he said, you go down there and you get Elisha. We'll take care of this problem. The Bible said in verse 14, 2 Kings chapter 6, you know, Elisha had a servant with him all the time. And so the Bible said in verse 15, they came by night. They surrounded Dothan where Elisha was. And it said in verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Said, I went out this morning. The enemy has surrounded us. They're all round about us. We're surrounded. What are we going to do? That's how we are sometimes. We're scared to death of the devil. We're surrounded. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? The Bible said in verse 16, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And that servant said, scratched his head. He said, one, two, I've got a hard time seeing that. I don't know where you went to school, Elisha, but it looks to me like we're way, way outnumbered. And I love what it said in verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Praise God, if we could really see by faith this morning. We read the newspaper and we look at the world. We look at the situation and we look around. We say, oh, we're outnumbered. We're about to go down for the third time. Hey, if God could open our eyes and we could look round about. on the mountains round about us. God's got His servants. God's got His angels. Hey man, you believe that? Watching over us. Looking over our lives. The devil would have killed you and me a long time ago if he could have. God said, no, I got a purpose there. I'm going to keep them. There's more with us than there is with the devil. He's a defeated foe. The saints of God are sealed. I really had second thoughts about preaching this message. I mean, I knew if I tried to preach this, boy, the devil would give me a hard time. There's not a lot of things I second-guess the Lord on, but I said, Lord, you sure? You sure you want me to preach that? Because if I preach something like that, the devil will attack me over it. Sure enough, he will. I got studying in the Word of God. The Lord might allow the devil to do something in my life, but the Lord would have to allow it. But you know what? We've got a legal document in the Word of God. And according to the Word of God, you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we are untouchable to the devil. He can't do nothing to us unless God allows it. He cannot touch us, harm us, trip us. He cannot attack us, make us sick. He can't touch our family unless God allows it. Or you and I choose it with our free will. And sometimes we do things like that. Well, I got to thinking about that. The devil might kill me over this. Well, I know a lot of times we say that. Well, the devil is about to kill me. Well, so what if he does? What is he going to do after that? Not a thing. Before the nurse came in and looked at you and took your pulse and said, yep, he's gone, you'd be dancing on the hillsides of glory. Before the coroner could come in, before they could come to the funeral home and haul you off and do the investigation, you'd be on the other side praising Jesus, having a reunion. So what? So what if the devil kills us? I'll be in heaven. I'll be having reunion day. Well, take your best shot. What if he makes you sick for a long time? What if he afflicts your family? What if he does? The Bible says it's a light affliction compared to the glory to come. It's a few days. Man that is born a woman is few days and full of trouble. If he does, it can only last so long. Because, yeah, that's right, we're going to die. How about that, old devil? You ain't going to live forever in the mess you're in. One of these days you're going to take your last breath. One of the days the devil's going to take his last shot, and you'll wake up in glory. So, yeah, the devil, he's going to attack us. He's going to press us. He's going to give us all these problems. But there's only so much he can do. And then we're going to go to heaven after a while. And we're going to praise the Lord forever and forever and forever. Praise God, I'm saved. You're saved. You're safe. You're secure. It's for all of eternity. The saints of God are sealed. There's only so much he can do. Only so much he can do. Then I got to thinking about this last of all this morning. Number one, his days are short. Number two, our God is sovereign. Number three, the saints of God are sealed. And number four, no matter what happens in this life, we have a song. You think about that a little bit this morning. No matter what happens in this life, God's people are singing people. Bible said in Job 35 and 10, but none saith, where is God my maker who giveth songs in the night? God gives songs in the night. And I got to think about that. That has got to drive the devil crazy. That no matter what he does to us, no matter how bad he can make the situations in our life, and no matter how much darkness might come, and he can do his worst to us and persecute us and plague us and beat us down and stomp on us and kick us while we're down and stand on our back and stand back with our face down in the mud, and he can say, I'll tell you what, that one will never get back up. Let's move on to the next one. But if you are saved by the grace of God, I don't care how bad things get in your life. God will give you a song one day. And the devil might come along and say, well, I really put that one down. Boy, they'll never get back up. They're ruined. We sang that song this morning. It is well with my soul. What number is that? We sang that song, it is well with my soul. You could just take the songbook this morning. And old H.G. Spafford wrote this song, and his daughters, one or two of his daughters, and I believe his wife, had died. They was going across seas in a ship, and the ship went down, and they died. And he in the process, he lost everything he had in his business. And his family perished. And he was going overseas, and he told the captain, he said, when we get over that spot, I want you to come and get me. I'd like to go over where that ship went down and where the bodies of my family is, and I'd like to just know where that spot was. And he went out there. The captain came and got him when they got to that spot, and he went out on the edge of the ship and looked over into the watery grave. And the Spirit of God gave him a song. And he said, when peace like a river attendeth my way, there is a strange peace that comes over the children of God during the worst, darkest times of our lives. He said, I don't understand it. But here I am, and I've got this peace that passes all understanding. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, and the waves beating up against the ship, and him thinking about his family and how they must have suffered and how they must have drowned down in that grave, whatever my lot has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. And boy, you can get down and you think, I'm never going to get up out of this. And God will give you a song. I was reading through the songbook this morning. Boy, the devil thinks he's really got the upper hand in a lot of people's lives down through the year. And there's a little baby girl. I mean, she's just a young infant. She had a disease and lost her sight and never seen anything that she could remember. Her name is Fanny Crosby. She wrote some of the greatest songs that we've ever sung or you'll ever hear. And I was reading this morning, she said, when visions of rapture, she couldn't see. But she could see. Through the eye of faith, God gave her a song. And it amazes me. Look at all the songs. And the worst thing Satan ever done to God and his children was at Calvary. And we sing more about Calvary. And I'll cling to the old rugged cross. There's more songs about the cross and his blood and his resurrection than there is anything else. The worst thing Satan ever done, we sing more about that. That's got to drive him crazy. Look over in Revelation chapter 5. I'm going to close right here in a minute. But in Revelation chapter number 5, I was singing over that, or reading over there, and thinking about, and this is after the rapture and the nations and the saints of God, the church is in heaven over there. Revelation 5 and 9 said, and they sung a new song. Of all the songs that's ever been written, there's never going to be where there's no new songs. The Bible said, and they sung a new song. Well, we're in heaven. Everything's going to be all right. We're going to sing a new song. What's the new song going to be? They sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, that's Calvary, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. We're going to sing throughout all of eternity. No matter what happens, we have a song that we can sing. Well, we ought to praise the Lord about that. God's people, God will give you a song. If you are one of His children, it may be a long time since you've had a song, but if you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, He'll come along, He'll give you a song. He'll raise you up. He'll change your situation. If you respond to Him in faith and say, Lord, help, that's all it takes. Here it come. You might think it might take a while. I was reading about over in England. Over in England in the late 1500s, 1600s, there was a time where every time the king changed, the Christians, their situation changed. The true Christians were persecuted by all of them that came along. But finally there began to come a day where the Baptist people, the Quakers, some of them, they were allowed a little more liberty to worship. And there was a time along that time frame in England where there was a split in the Baptist churches. You know what they split over? Whether or not they should have singing in church. Whether or not they should have singing in church. And they had stopped singing because of persecution. So they had to meet in secret. They had to meet out in the woods, in the fields. They couldn't have a church like we think about church. They had to hide. And if they got caught, they'd get burned at the stake, thrown in the river. So they stopped singing because they'd get discovered. When they begin to get just a little bit of liberty, you know what? The first thing they argued about, they said, we need to be singing. But they got so used to not singing that some of them thought that it wasn't the will of God that they sing. And I think that's how some Christians get in their life. It's been so long since you've sung, had a song upon your heart that you feel like it, you're not even allowed to sing. But I'm telling you, it's the divine will of God that God's people have a song on their heart. And they said, we think we ought to sing. We think we ought to sing. Even if we get in trouble, we think we ought to sing. And you know what? Singing won out. God's people ought to sing. God will give you a song. It's the will of God you have a song upon your life. And as God's people, you think about this, as God's people sing in the darkest of days, that reminds the devil about all these things. His days are numbered. He can't take our song away. And I'm closing this morning. I read one more time Revelation 20, verse number 11. Last mention. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, praise God, and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? Let's have our heads bowed.